to the Crypto Vibes Podcast, your weekly recap of news of what's happened in the world of crypto, blockchain, and future web. We aggregate news throughout the week to provide a condensed version. It's definitely not all the news for the week, but everything we do cite is mentioned in our show notes at cryptopodcast.xyz. We really hope you've had a good week. This is year 2023, week 11, episode 49. I am your host, Neil Alonzo, and before we dive into everything, some disclosures. We are not financial advisors, wealth managers, lawyers, brokers, or CPAs. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as investment advice. To kick off this week with some thoughts, being in the crypto space, blockchain, future web, it's never dull, that's for sure. The narrative by John Rice from Blockworks, editor-in-chief, on Judge's response to SEC's request to prohibit Binance US from acquiring Voyager's assets, it was awesome. In short, what enables the SEC to enforce in the absence of clarity and actual regulation to support their claims? It's not a good look for the SEC, what transpired, and there's links in our show notes to the Blockworks newsletter, to the courts was that particular newsletter that went out by editor John Rice. Crypto Twitter lit up with this particular bit of excerpt from that court case. So in the positive defense of social media, it's stuff like this that social media is really good at making go viral. So for all the negatives of social media, this is definitely a positive. But just like any game of telephone, I'm sure some of the information gets broken down and doesn't necessarily translate verbatim. But that's why screenshots of transcripts were shared. So to lead this week and some headlines following that up, we do have a link to the United States Bankruptcy Court, Southern District of New York, Voyager's digital assets holding paperwork. A headline reads, SEC Chairman Gensler suggests again that proof-of-stake tokens are securities per report. In the byline of the article, Gensler had previously argued that Ether might be a security after Ethereum's transition to proof-of-stake last year. In step with this theme that we're talking about, a great headline on Blockworks, which reads, "No laws, no policy, no clarity. The perilous state of crypto regulation." And in the byline, talk is cheap, except for the investors in crypto harmed by the inaction of Congress. This was written by Casey Wagner, and we have to say it's a great article. And in step with John Rice's newsletter piece, they're putting out some good content this week. Really good content. And in the world of our banking situation, especially as it happens with Silicon Valley Bank, Silvergate, and a few others this week, the U.S. Department of Treasury, a joint statement by the Department of Treasury, Federal Reserve, and FDIC. We have a link in our show notes to this. But in reading a little bit from the statement, today we are taking the decisive actions to protect the U.S. economy by strengthening public confidence in our banking system. This step will ensure that the U.S. banking system continues to perform its vital roles of protecting deposits and providing access to credit to households and businesses in a manner that promotes strong and sustainable economic growth. You can read the full statement in our show notes, but it's definitely climbing the ladder, right? Because in step with that, this is also on FDIC website, FDIC creates a Deposit Insurance National Bank of Santa Clara to protect insured depositors of Silicon Valley Bank, Santa Clara, California. This was last updated as of March 12, 2023. Again, this link and more in our show notes as it relates to this bit of information regarding Silicon Valley Bank. But if you'd like a simplified way of getting what happened with SVB, USA Today has an article that says Silicon Valley Bank collapse is explained in graphics. Once you get past the myriad of pop-ups, you can scroll through and look at things. Just click on the reader in your Safari browser, if that's what you're using, or the reader view. It likes to simplify it. Pocket is something we love to use in this case. But regardless of whatever one media outlet says, we definitely encourage everybody to do their own due diligence as relates to the narrative of the banks that are collapsing. Another headline that caught our eye this week, and this one's on The Verge, OpenAI co-founder on company's past approach to openly sharing research. Quote, "We were wrong." OpenAI announced its latest language model, GPT-4, but many in the AI community were disappointed by the lack of public information. Their complaints track increasing tensions in the AI world over safety. Now, here's the thing. The name of the company is OpenAI, so when they're not open source, it calls into question a few things. Their entire model, business model, well, from a capitalism standpoint, it's pretty impressive. Being a nonprofit, launching for-profit products, we can understand both sides of this argument, or even this point of view or this strategy and approach, but it's not without getting its bumps and bruises in the court of public opinion, right? In a quoted excerpt, says, should AI research be open or closed? Experts disagree. Unfortunately, from my standpoint, I'm of the opinion that we need context to provide an argument or a point of view, because there's so many different ways that AI research is being conducted and what it's being used for. But again, it comes down to the context of things. It really has to do with context. But read the article for yourself. Another headline, Microsoft announces OpenAI-powered Copilot in Office 365 software. So yeah, for those of you who are seeing more AI features within your SaaS or any software products, I mean, Notion's even doing it. They've been pushing for it for a little while. But yeah, everything's going to have its AI integration at some point. Some will be good, some will be incredibly bad, and some will move the needle, and some are going to scare us. In an interesting, I guess you'd say, people lifestyle article on theinformation.com, Boom Times in San Francisco's AI Underground. The short sentiment of the story is this: even with everything that's been going on this past week with the banks and just a lot of issues in general with regulation, it hasn't stopped people's interest in AI and meeting up in San Francisco of all places to see what's coming next. Again, the signal of adoption is something that should never be ignored when looking at a market space, in our opinion. In another newsletter, data sheet by David Meyer by Fortune, it reads, regulators are coming for OpenAI and its rivals. In an excerpt piece from it, it's now nearly 2 years since the European Commission proposed a, quote, Artificial Intelligence Act that is still grinding its way through the EU's legislative process. On the one hand, this shows how inappropriately slow the AI regulation push is, given the breakneck speed at which the technology is developing and deploying. That said, the process drawn out nature could, in this case, prove beneficial. In step with that, it says the Commission's original proposal would ban things like the use of AI-based social scoring systems by public authorities and systems that, quote, manipulate persons through subliminal techniques beyond their consciousness. Here's the thing, the majority of people doing regulation don't necessarily have a firm enough grasp on how the technology is created, and as such, there needs to be more of a melting pot of experience and knowledge to come up with ways on how to do this, and it needs to be an agile regulation process, especially in the time of public release, because no matter what you're building, especially in the place of technology, once humans start using it, or once it's just even put out there for robots to use it, however you want to look at it, the use case always seems to have nuances, differences, key learnings, insights, right? Things we would have never known had it not reached the use by 10 people, 20 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, a million people. Each one of those critical mass points or milestones or benchmarks, however you want to look at it on your roadmap, really do, in this case, provide context to how any technology is utilized. Without understanding that context, again, yeah, how are you going to make regulation that makes sense, that actually works? And in some other news, not letting this one go, I mean, it's just not, because it's part of everything that's been happening in the space of crypto, all innovation. FTX says SBF other founders received $3.2 billion from Alameda and other entities. Okay. And then also another headline, class action seeks $1 billion from influencers who endorsed FTX. Just my opinion, that seems a little, I don't know, opportunistic to do that. But that's the system we currently have. Another headline, big banks came to First Republic's rescue, but the changing the psychology of depositors may not be easy. This is a Fortune.com article. Just by the headline alone, we have to agree the psychology of depositors may not be easy. It's a rough one. We're developing scars, a lot of us, in this generation in ways that we didn't know or hoped we wouldn't have to deal with that previous generations had. In another headline, and this one's on CoinDesk, Doodles is, quote, no longer an NFT project, co-founder says. Jordan Castro, aka Poopy, explained in a tweet, the brand is growing into a company with the goal of becoming a leading media franchise. From a creative standpoint, we could totally understand that. And who doesn't like the idea of being aka Poopy? The Judd Apatow child in me just wants to keep saying that over and over. And in our final bit of news for the week, and please, let me remind you, it's definitely not all the news for the week. This headline reads, Lynx DAO wins bid to buy a Scottish golf course. The decentralized autonomous organization's NFT membership provide voting rights, but not ownership of the group's first golf course, which requires a corporate structure. So for those of you who are always interested about DAOs and how it can be utilized to do real-world things, this is going to be a good case study for you to look at. Links in our show notes. Thank you again for tuning in to this episode of Crypto Vibes. If you found value in what we're doing, please share it with others. Who doesn't like to share value? All links are available at cryptopodcast.xyz. This show is produced by Vocal Visual, and the show comes out every Saturday, excluding holidays. We are cautiously optimistic and hopefully pessimistic on crypto. Have a great weekend.